Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare today, and I want you to understand and get it down into your spirit, brothers and sisters, that you're in a battle. If you don't know that, it's time you found it out, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, do. If you're a born-again believer, you know that you're in a battle. You know that you have a target on your back that the devil is shooting at, that he is aiming at with his flaming arrows. And if you are not a believer, you may not be aware of the battle that you're in. You may already just be in the devil's camp, and he has you under his control. He has you in a place where you're no threat to him. And so we just want you to understand that this message is for all of you. If you're not a believer, you can take care of that today. If you've never been born again, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can get on the right side of the battle. You can get on the side of the victor, of Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord of hosts. He is the one who goes before us in battle. And if you have never accepted him and confessed his name, I urge you, I plead with you to do that today and come to know him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are born again, if you've already confessed his name, I want to encourage you to move forward in the battle, to pick up the spiritual warfare, to pick up the armor of God and put it on and get that sword of the Spirit in your hand, the Word of God, and get ready to go do battle, that God's kingdom can come here on this earth as he has declared it in heaven. And let me encourage you, brother and sister, if you feel like you're already in a battle and you're losing, you need to come closer to the Lord. You don't need to step away. You need to press in and come closer to the Lord. If you are in a battle and you don't feel like you're winning, you need more prayer. You need more time on your knees. You need more time in the Word. You need more time in worship and fellowship. Those are all the weapons of our warfare, and those are the ways that we will conquer. Those are the ways that we will be victorious, is to press into the kingdom, to draw closer to him, to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And as you do that, as you press in closer, as you draw near to him through studying his word and through time and prayer and just listening for his voice and time in a fellowship and worshiping and praising him, then the devil leaves. The devil will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so you submit to God, you submit your life to him, press in, draw closer to him, and God will strengthen you in the battle, and he will raise you up, and you will be victorious. Well, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And so as the thief comes, he wants to steal everything that he can from your family. He wants to steal all of your gains that you have made in the kingdom. He wants to steal your salvation. He wants to steal the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal your children away from the kingdom of God. And so as the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that is what he is intending to do, and he will make every effort that he can to steal from you, to destroy your life, and to wreck you and get you off of the path of God's calling and God's destiny on your life. And Jesus said, I came for the opposite reason. I came to give you life, not only here on this earth, but life eternal. I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Jesus doesn't want us just to scrape by. He doesn't want us just to be a miser in the kingdom. He wants us to know the blessings of walking with him. He wants us to know the joy of walking him. He wants us to have the wisdom to make good financial decisions, to make good decisions about taking care of our holy temple, the body. And so Jesus says, I came to give you life abundantly. And so as we gain wisdom in serving him, as we ask God for wisdom and we ask God for knowledge, God will give it to us generously without reproach. And so we can come to know the Lord and know the abundant life that he has for us. Not only in heaven, it's not just a future eternal life, but it's also right here on this earth. God wants to bless you with that glory. He wants to bless you with walking under an open heaven. And he wants you to know the joy of serving in his kingdom right here on this earth, that your days here on this earth would be exciting They would be fulfilling. They would be full of joy, full of peace, and full of blessings that the Lord has for you. Well, Paul talks to the baby Ephesians, the baby Christians in Ephesus. In Ephesians 2:1, he says, "You have been made alive, God made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." And so Paul is telling the baby Christians, you once walked according to the course of this world. Well, we know this world has a course. It's a course of corruption. It's a course of deceit. It's a course of addictions and traps set by the enemy. It's a course of defeat and hopelessness. It's a course of despair. And Paul says, you were once that, but God has delivered you. He has made you alive. He has brought you out of that course. He has brought you out of that death in your trespasses and your sins. And he said, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Well, that's a reference to the demonic kingdom. That's a reference to Satan, who is the ruler of this world. And this is a fallen world, and so you're going to see many things in this world as you witness the tragedies of the world, as you witness the unfairness, the injustice of this world, as you witness the abhorrent atrocities done to mankind, done to children, to women here on this earth. We know that the devil is the ruler of this world. We know that God is not control here, but he wants to take over. God wants to take over every aspect, every facet of life here on this earth, from government to politics to the church to the arts to the media to religion, every single aspect of life on this earth, every mountain to conquer. God wants the kingdom to conquer that mountain. Well, Paul says that we have been living according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among who also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so Paul says, we have lived by the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the mind. Paul says, we were those who conducted ourselves in these flesh, our carnal desires carried us, our carnal desires determined our behavior and our life. And Paul says, now you have been delivered out of those. You have come to a place where you are now made alive, and your course that you formerly walked in is no longer controlling your attitude, your mind, your actions, your behavior. And Paul says that it's the prince of the power of the air who is in control of this. And so our mission, brothers and sisters, is to become knowledgeable about how the devil operates, about how he seeks to take over your life, how he seeks to control you, how he seeks to take over your children. And as you come to know more about the devil, as you come to know his ways, his tactics, his strategies, then you will be more equipped to deal with him in battle. Well, Paul again speaks in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, where he's talking about false apostles and deceitful workers coming in to give a false message to the Corinthians church. And he says, and it's no wonder that these false apostles and deceitful workers came in. He said, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And so that's the way the devil operates. That's one of his primary strategies. He dresses sin up to make it look like it's going to be fun. He dresses sin up and he candy coats it and he sugar coats it, and it makes it look like it's going to be pleasurable. And I would say hesitatingly that sin is pleasurable for a season, and sin has enticements that look pleasurable for a season. And that's the way the devil draws us in. He makes us believe that we're going to be better off with whatever it is he has to offer. He makes us believe that we're going to enjoy more serving him and serving in the kingdom of darkness than we do in the kingdom of light. And that's one of the lies of the devil. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a murderer. He speaks murders from the beginning. He does not speak truth, because the truth is not in him. And just as Paul said back in Ephesians that we were children of wrath. That is what the devil wants to bring against you, is the wrath of his power to take you down, to destroy you, and to defeat you in despair and depression. Well, open your Bibles there, if you haven't already, to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 10. We're going to look at the classic scripture on spiritual warfare. And Paul starts out here in verse 10, and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Well, I think it's safe to say that we are in the evil day. I don't think there's any question about that. We're in the evil day. It isn't the climax of evil yet. It's not the culmination of evil yet. There's a great deal more of evil yet to come. We're just in the beginning of birth pangs, Matthew 24:8. We're just in the beginning of the time of sorrows, and you're going to see a deep darkness cover this earth, and it'll make the darkness that we have now, it'll make it look like we're not even in shadows or darkness yet. It's going to make it look like we're actually operating in the light right now. But it's going to get much worse, brother and sister. It's going to get unbelievably bad in terms of the darkness that wants to envelop this earth. And yet the light is going to get brighter. The light of Jesus Christ is going to shine brighter. And so for us as believers, for thus us who are born again, that light that shines from us is going to bring hope to those who see us. It's going to bring hope to our neighbors and our family. And so God wants you to shine in this dark world. He wants you to shine with the light of hope that is within you, and shine that light into a dark world, to be a light upon a hill. And don't put a bushel basket or a lamp shade over your light. Let it shine out. Let it protrude into the darkness. Let it pierce and penetrate the darkness. And God will raise you up to be a bright light, even when everything around you is dark. Well, I want to focus in on verse 12. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so if you're having arguments with your children, if you're having arguments with your wife or your husband or your boss or somebody else in the community, or you're having arguments with a friend, God wants you to know that your argument isn't against flesh and blood. Your battle is against the powers and principalities that are controlling the behavior of that person, that is controlling the thought life of that person. And so you have to understand, this is the way spiritual warfare operates. It's in the unseen realm. It isn't through what we see in the flesh and blood. It's in the unseen realm of the powers and principalities. And what Paul is laying out here is the hierarchy of the devil's kingdom. He's calling these four entities principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He's laying out four different categories of entities who are in the devil's kingdom. And we know Satan himself is in charge of this, and just as Jesus and God have their heavenly kingdom with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all the angels, the archangels, the seraphim, and all of the angels that do the bidding and the work for the Lord, so too does the devil have his angels, his demonic angels, his fallen angels that do the work for him, and the powers and principalities. I want to give you just a little example of how this works. Years ago, we did a prayer walk around the city of Norton, myself and a couple of brothers. We got in a car and drove several miles around the perimeter or the outskirts of the city of Norton every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we did that. It took us about an hour each day, and we did that for 7 days in a row, just praying for the Holy Spirit to come in and fill up this city and protect the children, protect the families, protect the churches. And we did that 7 days in a row And at some point during that week, the Lord revealed through a vision to one of the brothers that I was with that there was a spirit of python spirit that tried to strangle the life and the truth out of people there in Norton. It was a spirit of divination. The python spirit is a spirit of divination. It's a spirit of witchcraft. It's a spirit of rebellion. And God wants to take that spirit down, that principality over this city. He wants to take it down and release the power and the light of the Holy Spirit into this place so people would come to know Him. People would feel the power and presence of His Holy Spirit in this place. And you'll notice each and every Sunday morning when I pray over this radio broadcast and pray over the city, I pray for this city to be a city of refuge. That is, that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit would be felt here, and that when people come here, they would feel it. They would have a good economy here, jobs, and blessings on their family, blessings on the churches and the schools. And so I pray that every Sunday morning over the city on my radio broadcast, just as I have for 8 years now. And I believe the Lord is blessing that. I believe He's rewarding that. And I believe He's going to continue to reward it in the future. Well, interestingly, in verse 11, Paul says, put on the gospel armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, what is the wiles of the devil? That's the scheming. The devil is a schemer. He's always trying to deceive. He's always trying to scheme. He's always trying to set traps for us. And I'm sure many of you can attest to the fact that the times when you've fallen into his schemes, into his traps, Paul says, stand firm against that. And then again in verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then verse 14, he starts it out, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, etc. Well, four different times Paul says, stand firm. Well, he's talking to baby Christians here who don't understand spiritual warfare. They didn't understand the battle that they were in. They would just come to know the Lord. They didn't understand that the devil was going to try to wipe them out, that the devil was going to do everything he could to destroy them. And so he was giving them encouragement and admonishment. He was saying, stand firm. Don't give up ground. In fact, get ready to take ground away from the devil. And that's my encouragement for you today. Don't give up ground. Stand where you are. If you're in a battle with the devil over addictions to drugs or alcohol or pornography, or you're in a battle with your wife, or you're in a battle with your children or whatever it is, stand firm. Don't give up ground. Press into the kingdom. Press into Bible study. Press into prayer. Press into fellowship with the saints. And as you do that, God will raise you up. As you submit to God, you will be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, the battle starts, brother and sister, it starts by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As I spoke before, this is where it starts. You might as well get on the side of the winner right now. You might as well get on the victory side so you can take the victory lap with the King of Kings, the Lord of all creation. If you have never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Get down on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and repent of your wicked ways. Turn away from that and turn to Him. Follow it up with baptism and walk with the Lord. If you make that decision today, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, know that you are going to be attacked by the devil, but know that you have the winner on your side. Know that you are going to walk with the Lord, not just here on this earth for what remains of your life here on this earth, but you're going to walk with Him and He walk with you for all eternity until the very end of time. And so for all eternity, God is going to be with you. He's going to bless you. You can start reaping the kingdom blessings. You can start reaping the joy, the peace that comes with knowing Him, and you can start to defeat the devil in your life, and he will no longer have dominion over you and no longer have dominion over your life. Well, next week we're going to take a look at the individual pieces of the gospel armor, and so I invite you to come back and listen to that. We're going to look at the individual pieces and how they fit on us, what their purpose is, and how they affect you in your battle with the enemy of our souls. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. See you again next week.